Welcome back to another edition of the Purple Light Podcast. This is the ninth episode of Purp Take, where we do a weekly review of all the biggest news in sports. This is Jamie White, joined with Adam Goldsboro and Tyler Zeman. Today we're going to be talking about Champions League, NFL, free agency, and trades, and some news around the NBA. All right, first we're going to head over to Tyler Zeman, who's going to give us some news around the Champions League.
All right, so some pretty big stuff happened around the Champions League last week. We have probably the front runners, I would say, in Real Madrid going out in the knockout stages to Ajax. Ajax came into Real Madrid. They needed a goal or two, actually, to put them through to the next leg. Instead, they came in and scored four, and that was the end of Real Madrid, who were pretty poor the past couple of weeks, like leading up to this game. They just haven't been on top of their stuff, and it's been seen as a few days ago they brought in a new manager, Zinedine Zidane, their third manager this season, so not a surprise there. And then moving on, Dortmund and Tottenham. Tottenham had a 3-0 lead coming into this one, and Dortmund, they were just the weaker side all around this game, or that game. They were very sloppy, and for needing three goals, they played like they were going through with a 0-0 result. Tottenham come in late, and Harry Kane does what he does best and scores a goal for them, pretty much putting the tie out of hands for Dortmund. Moving on, we have Porto and Roma. Pretty big upset. Roma traveled to Porto, a Portuguese side. And Roma was winning the tie coming into this leg, but Porto come in, score three goals, and it ends 4-3 on aggregate, and Porto go through. Now, the big game last week on Wednesday was PSG versus Man United. PSG beat United 2-0 in the first leg of this game, which was surprising. Man United were really good under Solskjaer. And they're still good, but marching into this game in Paris, United came in with a depleted side. Paul Pogba was suspended. Jesse Lingard was hurt, as well as other big names. And I think four people on the United side made their Champions League debut in this game, which is pretty significant. Man United needed three goals to go through. They got three goals. PSG scored one just to make the game more interesting, but the tie ended 3-3 on aggregate, and United went through because they had more away goals. And then, you know, going to yesterday's results, Man City just being the dominant side, and no matter who they play against, 7-0 against Schalke. It wasn't surprising that they won. It was surprising by how much they beat Schalke. 10-2 was the aggregate score, and Man City go through into the next round. And then the big game yesterday, Juventus versus Atletico Madrid. Atletico Madrid walk into Turin, Italy, to play Juventus up 2-0 in the tie. And Ronaldo, honestly, you can't bet against this man in the round of 16. Scored a hat-trick 2 years ago, I think it was, to put Real Madrid into the next round. They ended up going on and winning the Champions League that year. And then Atletico Madrid, they've been very solid defensively, and it was just shocking that they conceded three goals. Ronaldo, of course, got all three, and it was very interesting because Juventus probably could have beat Madrid by at least six goals. It could have honestly been 6-0. Two goals were waved away, and they just had a multitude of chances Juve had to pretty much rack up the goals on Atletico Madrid, and that was that. And here to talk about the NFL and the trades that have happened in the past week is Jamin White.
All right, so first off, just keeping it local, Antonio Brown, star wide receiver for the Steelers, has expressed his need to get out of Pittsburgh and has demanded a trade. People were sort of debating where he was going to go. At first, there were several teams that were seriously bidding on him. The Saints, the Titans, I think the Vikings came into conversation. Eventually, Antonio Brown sort of scared off teams with his antics. He was initially going to be traded to the Buffalo Bills. He immediately went to Twitter to say, I'm not playing for Buffalo. A couple days later, it was announced, and he announced that he was going to go play for the Oakland, soon-to-be Las Vegas Raiders. For Pittsburgh fans, obviously, we're losing a huge star, and we really didn't get anything out of that trade. We took a huge hit on the salary cap because of Brown's enormous contract. So we're probably we're easily the losers on that trade. I think Antonio Brown has enough talent and a great enough work ethic that he's going to be productive. I don't think it's going to be the same form. Derek Carr is obviously not as good a quarterback as Big Ben Roethlisberger. And Oakland's in a super tough division in the AFC West with Kansas City, the Chargers, and Denver. So it'll be interesting to see how it shakes out. I don't think it's going to be Randy Moss going to the Raiders. I think it's going to be more like Jerry Rice going to the Raiders. You know, good, not great, but, you know, for him, I think it's the situation he wanted. And, of course, the long absence of Le'Veon Bell he's finally sort of come out from under his rock. He dropped his mixtape last night and has announced that he is signing with the New York Jets on a 4-year deal worth, I think, $51 million, which is $20 million less than he wanted from the Steelers. Nonetheless, he's in a new city as well. I don't think the Steelers are going to suffer at all. The players sort of made a mockery of him last year, going through his locker, taking his cleats, and James Conner emerged as a great running back. And even when he wasn't a great running back, Jalen Samuels stepped up, because any running back can be a star behind this line. And I think Le'Veon Bell, he got the market, he got the money, but I think he lost. I think he probably could have stayed with Pittsburgh and played for a championship team. But I don't know. What do you think, Seaman?
I mean, I feel like only one of these teams or one of these players will see the playoffs, and I think it's going to be Le'Veon Bell with his Jets. I mean, the Jets have really, like, put the pieces together besides signing Le'Veon Bell, and they brought in other potential on offense and defense, so they're really starting to bring in the puzzles. I mean, now on the West Coast, the Raiders are still over there with John Gruden saying it's hard to find a good pass rusher, even though they just traded away Khalil Mack. So it's questionable ownership and stuff. I mean, but they're looking for Vegas, and honestly, I think that's kind of what Brown was looking for. He wanted that West Coast star-studded, you know, area to live, and the lights of Vegas obviously to come in the next years. So, but I think personally, I think Le'Veon Bell had the better move to a more playoff potential team. Not Super Bowl potential team, but just making the playoffs and keeping like them hungry each year to keep working harder in his 4 years he has in New York.
Yeah, and I think more than ever, the AFC is sort of starving for a real contender. You know, Tom Brady is going to do what he does, whether Gronkowski comes back or not. So they'll be a lock for the playoffs, let's be real.
I mean, it's nice to see these new teams like emerge as playoff contenders and add to the drama. Like last year, we never talked about the Jets. We talked about them getting a first-round pick or a high pick in the draft. But, you know, it's nice to, like, have these new teams come in every year and mention them so often. It keeps it fresh.
It does. But speaking on that, the new team on the block may be the former 1-15 and then 0-16 Cleveland Browns, who just traded for Odell Beckham Jr., signed Kareem Hunt about a month ago. So they traded away Jabril Peppers, star safety, but nonetheless, what does this mean for the Steelers?
The Steelers aren't the best team in the next 75 miles.
Yeah, well, it's very interesting, isn't it? Yeah,
personally, I think the Steelers have lost their kind of a reputation of team to beat in the AFC North. I think that's the Browns now. With all, like, the stars you look at, young quarterback Baker Mayfield, young running back Nick Chubb, and then obviously their insane wide receiver core. It's so hard to not pick them to win the AFC North. The Ravens traded away key pieces on their defense, and, you know, a young quarterback, Lamar Jackson, who hasn't really showed much success other than helping the Ravens get kind of a chance to have a decent season. Yeah, a decent season. Kind of helped save their season with Joe Flacco not performing. And then the Bengals, who are just sitting over there quietly in Cincinnati, not really making any trades and not really like...
They're the Bengals. They're not going to win a playoff game.
Yeah, they're... No. But they're just over there, kind of quiet in their corner, while the Steelers are losing two offensive stars, and they're kind of rotting away in the division. Well, and then the Browns coming in with this fresh look on offense and a young, good defense.
Yeah, and in this weird circle that we're all sitting in, we can all agree we're Steelers fans, right?
Yes.
But this Steelers way, this building through the draft, not making any moves, is bullcrap. It hasn't worked. You know, 10-plus years, and it's been, 9 years since we've been in the Super Bowl?
That was eight.
Eight, well, it's coming up on nine. 2010 was the last time we were there.
Yeah.
So, we're sitting ducks. We haven't done anything. We've won, sure, but at what cost? We haven't had high draft picks. We haven't made any huge signings. We probably won't, you know, as long as we have the same core management, but I don't know. Browns are feeling dangerous.
The Browns, yeah. Honestly, I don't know if they're the team to beat. I would say they're more like the team to watch. They're going to be very entertaining to watch. I will admit that.
If they can pull together, keep consistency, have a good chemistry throughout the season, I think they can be really dangerous. Like, they're definitely a team to watch, and if they can just get it right, they could potentially have it all.
Yeah.
All right, lastly, we're going to head over to Adam, who's going to talk about the controversial fan incident between Russell Westbrook and the Utah Jazz.
Yeah, there's really not much news around the NBA this week, but this is a relatively interesting story. Russell Westbrook, we obviously all know, he's a very hyper-competitive person, and recently he's had a lot of run-ins with fans. He's had one last year, he had a run-in with one in Denver. This year he had two in just the last week. The little kid touched him and he turned around and acted like the kid hit him. I don't know what's going on with him. And then the fan in Utah, which I kind of do agree with the NBA, they did fine Russell Westbrook and the Utah Jazz kicked the fan out and they banned him from ever coming back. So that's probably a good decision, as if you look, the fan did have some controversial tweets on his Twitter about Russell Westbrook from a little while ago. So it's kind of just interesting to see how, like, because in basketball, fans are extremely close to the players and can definitely interact with them a lot more. Like, in football, if a fan wants to actually, like, do something to a player, they have to go all the way down to the field, and odds are they're not getting past
security.
They
gotta go at least 100, 200 feet.
But if you sit really close, like even second or third row seating is still extremely close to NBA players, to where they could still hear you easily,
right,
if you were to yell at them. So it's, I don't know, go talking about the man's family like the man did. It's not, you can't talk about someone's family. It's just not a good thing to do. Even if Russell Westbrook wasn't an NBA player, that's still, you know, it's not acceptable for anybody, really. So it's just a weird story, because you're starting to see that maybe the NBA needs to take a little bit more precaution and maybe protect its players a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
But it also brings up, you know, what's allowed for fans, or because if fans aren't allowed to maybe sit that close, they might not pay as much. And then, you know, that hurts the NBA's profit, but, you know, it's something the NBA, I'm sure, is going to have to look at during the offseason.
Yeah. And something very similar came into question Monday morning. You were talking about, like, what's the right way to react for Russell Westbrook? Probably reacted the wrong way. You know, it was a high-pressure situation that was unfortunate for both sides. But what do you do when you're Conor McGregor and someone wants to take a picture of you and you snatch up his phone and break it and then you get arrested? You know, it's like these are all super high-profile athletes who have to deal with this on a constant basis. So at some point, like, the notion probably is, like, enough is enough. Like, I just want to live my life, play this sport, you know, do what I do for a living. So it's very unfortunate. It's probably hard for us just as fans to sort of put ourselves into the athlete's mind. But I don't know, very unfortunate on both occasions.
Yeah, I feel for Russell Westbrook. I mean, a lot of players around the NBA have taken his side on things, which means there's
someone... And it's not easy to take Westbrook's side.
No, it is not.
Yeah, on this topic. So I mean, they have to experience some type of effect from the fans screaming at them and whatnot. But I think honestly, I just think it's a wave. Fans have like been interacting with sports for the last like week. There's been a lot of big things, like you mentioned Conor McGregor and then Russell Westbrook, and then over in Europe there was a fan who ran onto a field during a rivalry game and punched one of the players in the face from behind and got fined a bunch, suspended from all stadiums in England and all this kind of stuff. But I think it's one of those ways where it's just anything connected, like all these events just happened at the same time and there's just nothing that, you know, the players can do about it.
It's a creepy way to tie it all up though.
Yeah.
It's very interesting. Thank you for listening to another edition of the Purple Light Podcast. This has been Perp Take, where we do a weekly review of all the biggest news in sports. This has been Jamin White, joined by Adam Goldsboro and Tyler Zeman, now signing off.